Hey everyone, welcome to a deep dive into, well, us, the human brain. We're going deep into some fascinating neuroscience excerpts from ShareTechNote.
It's amazing stuff. We're like a memory, consciousness, the works, and the best part is you walk away with knowledge you can actually use.
Love that. So let's start simple. Memory. We've all been there, right? Back to the car after a long day and, wait, where did I park? That's your brain's memory system, folks.
Multiple systems, actually. Think about it, riding a bike, you just do it, no conscious thought. That's procedural memory. Mm. But remembering facts from school, declarative, the stuff you actively recall.
So our brains have different filing cabinets for memories, but how do they become permanent? No magic, right?
Right. It's systems consolidation, imagine. New info gets jotted on sticky notes in the hippocampus, your brain's short-term spot. Then, through systems consolidation, it's sorted, transferred to the neocortex long-term storage.
Okay, that makes sense. But then why are some memories fuzzy? Like, trying to remember something from years ago, the details get hazy.
Our memories aren't perfect. Scientists used to think specific neurons held memories like tiny boxes. Enneagram theory, they called it. More complex than that, but what I guess cool is they found Jennifer Aniston neurons, cells that fire only when someone sees her picture.
Seriously, neurons dedicated to Jennifer Aniston. Okay, that's both cool and kind of creepy. But if our memories are in specific neurons, what happens when our memory fails us, like with eyewitness testimonies?
That's a huge EE point. Remember the story of Titus, wrongly convicted because of a faulty eyewitness. Sadly shows how memories can be distorted. Not always a perfect playback.
That is unsettling. Makes you realize how important it is to be aware of memory's limits. So, solutions. What can we do to improve our memory, make it more reliable?
Good news, there are proven techniques. Spaced repetition, for one. Like setting reminders for your brain to revisit info strengthens those connections.
And elaborative rehearsal. I use that one. It helps so much. It's like weaving new info into a story makes it stick.
Exactly. You're using your brain's love of patterns. It's pretty amazing. As we go through this deep dive, think about what memory techniques do you use and why might they be working for you?
I love that. Become your own memory detective.
Exactly. And speaking of incredible brain functions, let's tackle one of the biggest mysteries.
Consciousness.
Consciousness. It's like we all have it, but explaining it, whoa, what is consciousness even?
That's the question, isn't it? The million-dollar puzzler. It's so basic to existing, we kind of gloss over it. Like, try explaining blue to someone who's never seen color.
Right. Bet you'd get 10 different answers if you asked people to define it. But something must be going on in our brains to create this experience.
Exactly. Neuroscientists call it the search for the neural correlates of consciousness.
Right.
Basically, what brain activity matches up with those experiences you mentioned. Trying to find consciousness's fingerprints, you could say.
So is there like a consciousness center? One spot where it all happens? If only it were that simple. Research points to several key areas. The cerebral cortex, thalamus, even the brainstem plays a role. But it's more about how they all work together.
Okay, so not a light switch, more like a whole network. I read about the hard problem of consciousness, that science can't fully explain how those physical processes become the feeling of awareness.
Yeah, they don't call it hard for nothing. Imagine scientists hook you up to scanners, show you a picture of a beach. They see your brain recognizing it, the colors, maybe even memories. But how does that become the feeling of being there? The warm sand, the waves, that's the hard problem.
Wow. Yeah, when you put it like that, it's kind of humbling how much we don't know about our own minds. Then there's near-death experiences, people feeling super conscious when their brain activity is supposed to be flatlining.
Right. Those stories are both fascinating and really complex. Near-death experiences, along with studying anesthesia, give us peeks into how consciousness can be. Interrupted, even restored, maybe? Mm. But more questions than answers, for sure.
It's like the more we learn, the more mysterious it gets. Okay, so how is consciousness different from just thinking? They seem kind of interlinked.
Great question. It's at the heart of it all. Think of it this way. Consciousness is the subjective, I am aware feeling. Cognition. That's the mechanics of thinking, problem solving, memory, language. You could even have cognition without consciousness. Ever driven a familiar route and realize, wait, I don't remember the last few miles?
Oh, all the time. Kind of freaks me out.
Exactly. Your brain was still navigating, making decisions, but you weren't fully aware. Cognition in the background.
That is a helpful way to put it. So our brains are doing all this stuff even when we're not paying attention. Which reminds me, we got to talk neuroplasticity. Our brains are always changing, right?
Exactly. Neuroplasticity is the brain's superpower rewiring itself throughout life. It's incredible. Our experiences, learning, even thoughts literally change the structure and function of our brains.
Wait, so it's not like we're stuck with the brain we're born with.
Not at all. It's constantly evolving. There's this study, London taxi drivers, right? They memorize all those streets. Researchers found they had larger hippocampi, that's the brain area for spatial memory, than non-taxi drivers.
No way. They changed their brain structure just from learning routes. So, like, if I play video games all day, I'm going to get a gamer brain.
Well, not that simple, but you're getting at something. Different activities stimulate different areas. Games. They might boost your hand-eye coordination, reaction time, but might not make you a chef overnight.
Makes sense. So neuroplasticity is like our experiences and our brain structure having this ongoing conversation. But what about people adapting to big life changes, like losing a sense?
That's where it gets even more remarkable. Studies show people blind from birth can have heightened touch, hearing, smell. Their brains rewire to make up for the lack of visual input.
That's encouraging. Our brains are incredibly resilient.
They are. And that leads us to those mental shortcuts we take, which can sometimes, well, lead us astray.
You mean cognitive biases, like you meet someone new and instantly judge them based on their clothes or how they talk.
Bingo. Our brains crave patterns, quick judgments, even with limited info. Efficient, but it can cause biases, influencing us without us even knowing.
Trying to simplify a complex world, but those shortcuts backfire sometimes.
Exactly. Confirmation bias, for instance. We favor info that backs up what we already believe, even if we're wrong, linked to the amygdala, the emotional memory center.
Right, we're emotional beings, even when trying to be logical. Is there a bias for people who hate change? I feel like I know a few.
Probably status quo bias. We stick with the familiar, even if there are better options. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right.
So true. Comfort zones are comfy. But speaking of exploring, all this tech we're glued to, phones, social media, constant IFO. How's that affecting our thinking?
Huge question, and researchers are on it. Keck's brought amazing things, but some argue all the stimulation, the sheer volume of info, might be impacting our cognitive function.
It's information overload. You ever feel that? Constant scrolling, notifications, hard to just be present.
A common experience these days, yeah. Some think it's affecting attention spans, making it harder to focus, maybe even impacting memory.
A bit scary, trading real experiences and deep thought for digital dopamine hits.
It's a question worth asking. How do we balance tech's benefits with potential downsides? Staying connected, but also present.
No easy answers there. Definitely something to think about.
Absolutely. Speaking of remarkable memories, ever heard of people with almost superhuman memory abilities?
You mean like those folks who remember every detail of their lives as if it's recorded? Sounds like science fiction.
It almost does. But it's real scring. Highly superior autobiographical memory, or HSM. Super rare.
Yeah.
But they recall personal events in amazing detail. However, it's not remembering everything. Not a perfect life recording.
So, more nuanced than just a super-powered memory. Are there downsides?
Potentially. Imagine reliving not just happy memories, but painful or embarrassing ones with the same intensity. Or feeling overwhelmed by the sheer volume. Fascinating. And reminds us, memories shape us, but don't tell the whole story.
Good point. Memories are just one piece of us. What about that nature versus nurture debate? Any scientific backing to it?
A classic question. Are we born a certain way, or do experiences shape us? Turns out, like most things, it's not so simple. We're a mix of genes and environment. Predispositions, yes, but upbringing, experiences, social circles, they all mold us.
So not one or the other, but a bit of both, intertwined.
Exactly. Like baking a cake, genes are the ingredients, but the environment. That's how they're combined. Taking time determines the final taste.
I like that. Okay, can't forget emotions. So powerful. Sometimes they override logic completely.
Yeah, come.
Emotions are fascinating, primal, visceral. And you're right, they hijack our best intentions sometimes. But there's a reason. They're not just feelings, they're mental states. Physical changes, racing heart, sweaty palms, and they drive how we act, laughing, crying, all that. Our sources say emotions are key to survival.
Really? Seems like they get us into trouble as often as not.
Think about fear. Triggers fight or flight, keeps us safe, right? Love, attachment, social bonds, raising kids, communities. Deep down, emotions drive us, influence decisions, even when we think we're being rational.
So even when we try to be logical, emotions are always there in the background, nudging us.
Exactly. And get this, some researchers believe all emotions, even the ones we think we're born with, are learned. Our brains build them from our experiences, predictions about the future.
Whoa. so we could unlearn negative emotions or learn new ones.
Cutting-edge stuff. Researchers use brain imaging, computational models, trying to untangle how brain activity, emotions, and behavior connect. It's an exciting time for brain science.
It really is. This whole deep dive has been amazing, and I feel like we've just scratched the surface. What are your biggest takeaways?
For me, the brain is amazingly complex. We've learned a lot, but it's still the biggest mystery in the universe, in a way. And that's what makes studying it so fascinating.
Absolutely. And realizing we have this incredible organ capable of so much makes you wonder, what else can our brains do?
That's the beauty of it. We're still figuring out its potential. What about you? Any insights you'll carry forward?
Neuroplasticity, for sure. Yeah. Our brains are always changing, adapting based on what we do, what we experience. It means we're not fixed, not limited by our past. We can learn, grow, evolve. That's hopeful.
Yeah, I guess. We have the power to shape our own brains, build good habits, challenge those biases, and reach our full potential.
Powerful stuff. I think we've given our listeners a lot to think about today. It's mind-blowing, really, how much power we have over our own brain development. But with all this talk about memory, consciousness, even emotions, what about the self? Where does our sense of identity come from?
Ah, the big question. Who am I? Philosophers have been wrestling with that one forever. Now neuroscience is jumping in, and it's interesting stuff. See, your sense of self isn't in one specific spot. Aww. It's more like it emerges from how all the different parts of your brain work together.
So there's not a tiny me running around in my head.
Not exactly. Okay. It's more like a symphony, right? Your memories, beliefs, everything you've gone through, your emotions, they all mix together to create this sense of you that's always changing and evolving.
That actually makes sense. We're not born knowing who we are. It's built up over time, right? All those experiences.
Exactly. And here's something else to think about. Your sense of self can even shift depending on the situation. How you act with your best friends. Totally different from, say, a job interview, right?
Totally. It's like we've got different versions of ourselves and we use whichever one fits. So if our sense of self is so fluid, always changing, what does that mean for, like, personal growth? Can we actually choose to change who we are?
Now you're getting deep. And this is where neuroplasticity comes back in. If our brains are always changing based on what we experience, well, we can influence those changes, can't we? We can try new things, build good habits, basically work towards becoming the best version of ourselves.
That's kind of powerful. It means we've got more control than we realize.
Exactly. And speaking of powerful influences, we've spent this whole deep dive exploring the brain. But as we wrap up, I'm curious, how has it changed your perspective? What's sticking with you?
You know, it really makes you appreciate the brain, doesn't it? This amazing thing, just doing its job all the time. But learning all these details, how complex it is, what it's capable of, it's humbling, for sure. I know I'm going to be thinking a lot about neuroplasticity. Our brains are literally rewiring themselves constantly. That's exciting and a little bit scary all at the same time.
It's true, isn't it? Knowledge is power, as they say. And the more we understand about our brains, memory, neuroplasticity, all of it, the better choices we can make. We can take care of our minds, live better lives.
Absolutely. It's been a wild ride. And to our listeners, keep exploring that amazing world inside your head. It's more fascinating than you can imagine. Until next time, everyone, keep those brains buzzing.